Good morning, Wake Up HEC. Cris Oviedo here with you, and we have an exciting show for today. It's exciting, the fall is coming. There's a lot of changes happening. Our guest today, I know she has a lot of great information and there's a lot of excitement happening. My guest, Janelle Broderick, who has been with me before, she's the director of the Horowitz Visual and Performing Arts Center right here at Howard Community College. We're going to be talking about, you know, the upcoming fall season, some of the things that are changing, that are moving, that are happening, that are flowing. And this season, this entire season, this past year and a half has been a year of change. And Janelle, I'm excited to have you here this morning with me. And I want to start this conversation just by, you know, before we get into all of that good information that we have for everybody today, I just want to ask you how you're doing and what are you most excited and what are you most looking forward to in this upcoming fall semester? Welcome and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Cris. It's good to be here with you. And it's great to be on this new platform today. Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. As you can see, I'm here in the office today. And I think this is the first time that we've spoken with both of us on campus. So that is exciting, this return to campus and seeing people in the hallways and that excitement is building. And so I think everybody's just really looking forward to being in person more and more and building off that energy with each other. So we're all really looking forward to that here in the Arts and Humanities Division and in the Horowitz Center. So it's just a good feeling.
And I know that the theme for this upcoming season is actually reconnect, right? And that's, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about. That's kind of like the theme for our conversation today as well, because I feel that that's what we're all craving right now. And I know that we continue to navigate COVID and that continues to bring challenges and changes and we continue to adjust and adapt to it as it continues to flow, right? And just kind of like intervene in our lives. But tell us about this theme, Janelle. Tell us about this theme of reconnecting. Tell us what it means. Like I many times, and when we have these conversations, when you guys come up with these themes, I'm like, oh, I wish I was a little fly right there in that room when you guys are having these conversations mm-hmm. and figuring out the theme for the upcoming season, because it has to be so exciting, you know, this brainstorming. I this is what I envision. I envision a group of professionals just brainstorming and coming up with ideas and then finally just, you know, coming with this one theme that really, in my opinion, shows where the heart is of everybody and where everybody's feelings are at that time. So tell us what it means and tell us why you guys decided that reconnect was the right theme for this upcoming season.
Yes, the purpose of our annual theme in the past has been really to provide a platform for us to explore an idea through multiple mediums, through art, through visual art, through dance, through music, through theater. And in the past, we've had themes like time and memory and blood. We had one year was our theme, and we've had the year of the woman. And that has really inspired the content of what we are producing, right? The music department would, for instance, in the Year of the Woman, look at female composers, and we use the work of female playwrights or women-identified playwrights for the theater productions. And this year is a little bit more of a call to action. This concept of reconnect. Let's reconnect with our audiences, with our patrons, with our students, now that we are able to be on campus more often. And so when we were talking about the theme for this year, you know, last year the theme was reimagine, because we were in this situation where we really had to reimagine how we created and delivered visual and performing arts to our patrons and how we would teach visual and performing arts to the students. Because, you know, so much of what we do in the arts is tactile and in person. And there's this concept, you know, this experience of being with one another that was not possible last year because of the pandemic. And you put people in a creative, you know, creative world into the situation where you have to be more creative. And everybody really prevailed. The students and the faculty and our producers put their creative thinking caps on, and we were able to produce a season with virtual events. And it was wonderful. But at the same time, you cannot replace this feeling of being in person with the visual and performing arts, to see something in person three-dimensionally, have the feeling in the room of gathering with others to experience a play or a concert. So we are really looking to reconnect with each other. I have to say, just even the faculty and the staff and our creative team here is really looking forward to working in the same space with each other and to have that creative process flow and reconnect with the patrons, you know, for performers to be on stage and perform to a camera is a little bit different than performing for an audience that is weeping or clapping or laughing while you're performing. Get that energy. We want to reconnect and get that feeling back.
And, you know, we've talked about this before and how much, you know, as a patron myself, right, like how much I miss that. I know at the beginning of the pandemic, we talked about how exciting it was. Suddenly we had access to opera and we had access to Broadway and we had access to all of that. But you're right. You're right. We're missing that interaction. We're missing that. It's you feel that connection with the artists when you are sharing that same space, and it's time for us to do that. So, and I know that we have a great opportunity coming up this week on Thursday, right here at Howard Community College to reconnect. And I want to know how you guys at the theater department are planning for the HEC Bash to offer opportunities to reconnect with theater right here at HEC.
Yes, it's exciting that the HCC Bash will be taking place on Thursday from 12 to 4, I believe. And we will have the opportunity for students, prospective students and current students to explore the Horowitz Center, the whole HVPA building. So students who are on campus for that day are welcome to come into the lobby of HVPA, and we'll have some faculty and staff available to answer questions and to look into some of our venues and facilities so students can really see where they would be learning and performing and exhibiting in person.
And just, you know, being able to reconnect with the space itself. I have to admit, so I've been coming to campus now for, I guess, is about a month or so. And it did take a little bit getting used to, and I was grateful for that opportunity to come and reconnect with the space itself at first, because it has still been a little empty. I see that you're here in on campus today here with me too, Janelle, but I haven't seen you, and you know, and that's we get that feeling. We know that there's other people still here working, and we're continuing to reopen HEC fully, so staff and faculty will be on campus for the fall. But I know that students have options, right, to take different classes in different ways this upcoming semester, this upcoming fall, in person if they choose to, hybrid, so they come some days and they take classes online or fully online, remote or schedule. So, you know, we have plenty options for our students this upcoming fall semester. But I personally appreciated the fact that I was able to come and just kind of like step back into a space that I had not been for a year and a half. I was craving it, but it took a little getting used to that again. And I don't know if you've experienced the same thing, Janelle. And I think that that's what the HEC Bash is offering our students, is that opportunity to come and just reconnect first with the space, right? Because diving back into life as we knew it before COVID hit it takes, in my opinion, it takes courage and it takes some getting used to again. And, you know, thinking about that, Janelle, and thinking about the upcoming opportunities that we have for patrons to come to HEC, to come and do the arts again in person, there's still some safety concerns. There's still, you know, some questions about how do I keep myself safe? How is HEC ensuring the safety of everybody? So how can we stay connected? How can we get answers to all of those questions? And maybe, you know, if you can answer some of those questions for us today of how, what measures we're taking to keep ourselves here at HCC safe and everybody who interacts with us in person safe right here when they come and enjoy the arts.
Yes, well, as you know, Howard Community College has been taking the pandemic very seriously and looking, you know, to put the safety of the students and the faculty and the staff and their guests first. So as things have been changing, you know, regulations change, restrictions are lifting slowly, and things change. So we've created a patron safety page within the Horwood Center webpage that sort of mimics the whole Howard Community College safety plan, but specifically speaks to what patrons can expect when they come to our venues. And we really encourage patrons to check that every time they come, just in case something has changed. It's on our website, howardcc.edu/Horwood Center. And then under the plan your visit page, there's patron safety. And I would really, really, again, encourage people to check that, because things change. As you know, you watch the news and cases rise, cases fall, restrictions are lifted, restrictions are put back in place. And we want everybody to know exactly what to expect when they visit us so they can enjoy their experience and not be surprised or worried or concerned. And so right now, the restrictions, some have been lifted. And so beginning in mid-August, there are no more social distancing requirements and no capacity restrictions. So patrons can come and we'll be able to have full houses. Hopefully people, you know, come up in large numbers. However, face masks are still required for everyone, regardless of vaccination status. We are not checking vaccination records, nothing like that. But face masks are required for indoor events. Outdoors, that's not the case, but indoors we do require face masks. And for those people who, you know, might have left their face covering at home, we will have some available at the doors for patrons, just in case, so we can help out, because we wouldn't want to turn anybody away.
I appreciate that so much, because I almost panicked this morning as I was on my way here to HCC on 29, and I was like, oh, I think I left my mask at home, but thankfully I had an extra one in the car. So I know that I would have benefited from, you know, having extra masks just laying around. Janelle, I do want to ask, you know, I know in the summer we had at least one event outdoors, and I know you just mentioned that. Is that something theater will look into doing more? Is that something you guys are considering doing more and more? I know that in the past, and we have beautiful venues, you know, indoor venues here, and we definitely want to use that space. But was that like a found opportunity through the theater department and through the pandemic that you guys are maybe looking forward to offering more for your patrons? I think it brings a different level of connection for the arts and for your patrons.
Yes, that was a beautiful event. What you're talking about, back in June, the theater department produced their Shakespeare play out on Dreyer Stage. And that is the outdoor amphitheater in the back, out by the pond. It's actually really in the center of campus. And so the theater department produced out there. And that was really coincidental that was the case, because the theater department annually produces a work outside in June, because it's just a lovely time of year to be outside. And it's nice that the sun doesn't go down too early, and it's good weather usually in the evening in the summer, and it allows the students to perform in a different type of a venue, and that helps the students really learn how to be flexible in performing in different types of venues. So, you know, if they're going to be performing outside of HCC, hopefully, if they are working with a different university, four-year university, or professionally at some point, they'll be performing on different types of stages. And, you know, outdoor theater is quite common in the summer. So that's just part of the educational experience to learn what the differences are in performing outdoors rather than indoors. So that's part of the theater department annually. However, during, you know, this time, it really was a huge benefit. It's something that we were able to do safely and bring everybody together. The community came out to support and to enjoy. The patrons who came to those performances were so happy to be able to gather and to enjoy a Shakespeare play, especially it was comedy. And I think people are really ready to be together and to laugh together and just sort of, you know, escape for a little bit and have some joy. But like you said, it is a good option to perform outdoors, to have events outdoors. And that is something that, you know, we've been looking at with some of the other areas. You know, could we have music outdoors? What other types of events, what other college events, not just in arts and humanities, but what other events here on campus could we take advantage of that space?
And the campus is beautiful. It's just, you know, if you walk around campus, and there's a new sculpture that I encourage you to come to campus, take a quick walk and look for it. And Janelle, I know you were there. I know you met with the artist. So I've been patiently waiting to ask this question, but it and I've seen it on pictures. I haven't walked up there yet, but it looks absolutely beautiful. So tell us about this new sculpture that we have right here on campus. Hints of where we can find it, or maybe we'll just ask her, you know, everybody who's watching today to just come to campus and try to find it and take a picture and post it on Facebook. I don't know, maybe we can get creative with that. But tell us about this new sculpture that we just got here at HEC and what you learned by speaking with, you know, with the artist of this sculpture.
Yes. We're almost getting to the point where we could have an outdoor sculpture scavenger hunt with these pieces that we... We work annually with the Howard County Arts Council. They developed a program 10 years ago called Art Sites. And this is a program where the Arts Council sponsors, funds artwork, public art throughout Howard County. So every year they put a call out to artists who have created outdoor sculpture to submit pieces to be selected by 12 sites around Howard County. And we've been fortunate enough to be one of the selected sites for each year of the Art Sites program. So this is now the 10th year that we have had an Art Sites piece on campus. And how the program works is that the sites select a piece through a lottery. And sometimes some of the sites across the county want the same one. So we have to kind of pick and choose and have our top three choices when we go to that selection. So it's kind of a nail-biting selection process sometimes to see if we get the one that we want.
I didn't know that it was like that. That's so interesting. That's so cool.
It is. You know, we have a selection committee that I'm part of, and our dean and our gallery director, and we work with Bob Marietta with facilities to make sure that we pick a site on campus that'll work. You know, some of these pieces have to be installed in concrete, and some of them are installed in the ground. We have to make sure that there is no utility lines underneath that are going to be in the way of securing the piece in place. So there's a lot of logistics to work through. And fortunately, we've been able to get a piece, you know, every year that we like and have placed around campus. So in the past, people might recognize our very first piece, which is The Cycle, which is outside the north entrance of the Horwood Center on the quad. It's that orange piece that some people say it looks like an alligator. Some people say it looks like a guitar or a pear. But if you're familiar with entering HVPA from the quad, that's the piece. That was our very first Art Sites piece. And then there's also Autumn Amber, which is at the south entrance. And then there's a piece called Basalt Man that's on the patio of Cafe on the Quad. So those are three pieces that are now permanently installed. Most of them are not purchased and permanently installed on campus. Most of them are here for a 12-month duration, and then they go on to another home, and we get a new piece. So this year's piece, I'm very excited about, and it's by an artist from New York named Bob Turan, and he's been participating in art sites since the beginning, and I think he's had a piece selected 6 times throughout the 10 years. So he's had pieces at other sites in the county, but never here on campus. So this is his first year on campus. And when he came to install, he was here, gosh, it was Sunday the 1st, August 1st. So it's only been here for about a week. So he came and installed the piece and it's located, I'm looking out the window because it's right over there. It's located at an intersection of pathways. There's those pedestrian pathways that connect Duncan Hall and the RCF, the Student Services Hall, and Health Sciences. There's those pedestrian pathways and connects with Lot A too. So there's this little intersection with an island that had some grasses and mulch and didn't have much going on there. So we thought it would be a really nice space for this piece. And the piece is called Quill Sail. And I just love it because it is inspired by writers of the past. And the way that Bob, the artist, describes it, he says he was inspired by Shakespeare and Edgar Allan Poe and thinking about writing. So it appears to be an inkwell and a quill pen. So how he's constructed it is from an old milk can. You know, if you can imagine those old milk cans, like from a farm, right? He's cut the top so it looks like an inkwell, and then constructed a large quill feather piece that goes into the inkwell. And the piece is kinetic, so it sways in the wind, it spins depending on how fast the wind is going. And watching him install this piece and talking to him about the construction was really fascinating. He was so excited to talk about how he created it and how he developed it so it would move the way that he wanted it. So what's interesting is that in order for the piece to move, he has, you know, a rod of the quill that goes down into, you know, deep into the base, past, you know, where you can see where the milk can, the bottom of the milk can, goes into this base that looks like a pedestal. And under there, it's weighted with 62.5 pounds of, you know, free weights that are secured to this rod so that it counterbalances the quill when it sways. And in the middle is a joint that he has custom crafted from a billiard ball to get this smooth motion. So if you can imagine this rod with this ball in the center, sort of moving it so it sways in the wind, it really is really cool to think about how he created this from, you know, materials from a milk can and billiard ball and aluminum and steel. And he created it last year. It's a 2020 piece. So he was really excited to have its first home here for a year.
Wow. All this engineering, all of this creativity mm-hmm. just put together in this one piece that you can come and see right here at Howard Community College. I saw that you posted this the other day on Facebook, and I just looking at it swaying, it's just peaceful. So if you're looking, you know, for a nice piece of art that you want to come and admire, maybe take a little break. This is really a good escape for you right here at HCC. I can't wait to go see it. I might take a walk today and just do a little reel. So check out our Instagram page later today to see if maybe it makes its appearance there in their page. But definitely come and check it out right here at Howard Community College. It's
really
fantastic,
cool.
Janelle, you know, all of this description that you just did, I mean, all of this thought that goes into it and to putting this piece together and making it move in a certain way. I think that, you know, I think that artistic process is something that maybe those of us who are not, don't consider ourselves artists and are not in this artistic industry in those forms, I would have never thought that all of this, you know, all of these thoughts about, you know, the weights that need to go on there and the movement and this and that, that all of that goes into that. It's like when we've talked in the past before about music and how an artist has to make that connection, that feeling, so that it actually gives the message to the audience. As an artist yourself, Janelle, you know, and thinking of our students here at HEC and the staff as well, and the faculty as well, when you're teaching in a semester, when you're teaching these classes and when you're having students be part of the galleries or of the showcases or just classes in themselves, what's that process like? What is the one thing that we're trying our students to gain and take with them from HEC more than anything else?
Well, gosh, that's a big question, Chris. Because I know. there's so much to it. But you know, I think what sticks with me is something that you know, Jeremy Bomberg was actually saying, and when you spoke with him last year about how when they're teaching the students, it's about the technique, you know, it's about the skill and the, you know, the logistics of it all, of actually creating something. But then it's also about the artistic sensibility. What are you portraying? What are you putting out there into the world and why? And also you have to have the skills to back it up. You have to be able to perform. You have to play the, you know, if you're an instrumental major, you have to practice to play your instrument technically well, but also consider what you're performing and why. Why are you going to present this to an audience? You know, one of my favorite interviews with In the Spotlight, the show that I work on with Karen, is an interview with Dr. Ben Myers, who's now the chair of music. And one time I asked him, how does he speak to his students about performance anxiety and the nerves that you can have on stage? You know, a lot of performers are introverts and love to practice, but don't necessarily love to perform because of this nervous anxiety. And, you know, I know plenty of musicians that are like that. And so what he said to me was that he talks to his students about why it's important that they share this with their patron. You know, he says, picture that you're so passionate about this work that you've invited someone into your home, into your studio, right? As if the stage is your home, that you've invited these patrons into, and whatever you're performing is important enough to you that you want to share it with them. And I think that's something that can't quite be taught, you know, but it can be conveyed through the passion of our faculty.
Absolutely. And that's a beautiful message. It's not just the skills, like you said, right? Because I can learn and my kids will tell you, I know how to cook. Now, whether I'm a good cook or not, that's a very different story, right? So I have the skills. I physically am able to do it. But if there's somebody else who will take the cooking at home, everybody will agree that that's probably the best idea for dinner almost every day. So it is that passion. It is that it's what you want to put out there, because I just want to feed my children, but I don't have that passion for cooking. It's not something that I necessarily enjoy. So you have to have that passion so that whatever you make connects with the audience. And one of my favorite things, you know, so I think it's Simon Cowell who said it in one of the shows, that he's part of. He said, you know, I felt that I connected. It was you put your emotions out for everybody to experience, to feel, and to connect. And I think that that's you know, really whatever our passions are in life, whatever we're putting our heart into, that's where people are going to connect with. And that's a beautiful message that we're trying to teach here, students, not just in the arts, like you said, Janelle, but in all of the careers that we teach right here at HCC. It's the heart that you put into it, what's going to set you apart and what's going to make you that one professional that's going to make that difference. Speaking about difference and speaking about, you know, exciting things and speaking about the heart that goes into things and into what we do, there's a conference coming up this month here at and it's virtual this year. I was going to say here at Howard Community College, because I know that both you and Grace are very involved in, you know, the putting it together and coming up with the ideas and just have this event ready for everybody. But I really want to let you talk about the Women Plus in Theater Conference that's coming up on August the 14th and what it means and the importance of having this conference that is now an annual event and some of the things that people can expect to find at this conference.
Yes, our Women in Theater Conference will be our sixth annual Women in Theater Conference. And actually our first conference was held back during the year when our theme was Year of the Woman. And this concept came up between, conversation with our then Dean Valerie Lash and Suzanne Beal, who was with Rep Stage at the time, and our theater department, and talking about, well, gosh, wouldn't it be great if we had a conference for women identifying theater professionals and students to talk about some of the shared challenges and successes of being a woman in the industry or studying the industry, right? So we had the first conference and then it was successful and, featured a keynote speaker and then some workshop sessions. And we decided to continue that. So now we have a steering committee of professionals, theater professionals, and others in higher education from around Maryland and DC who participate on a volunteer basis to help us form the conference every year to discuss the topics that we want to bring to the table, to bring facilitators to lead the discussions and panelists. And we've been very fortunate to have keynote speakers every year that bring some thoughtful presentations to the group that then we can have reflective small group discussions. So now our steering committee is led by Grace Anastasiades, and we work to bring something to the participants that can help them think, help them connect with each other. That's also part of it. So this year is going to be virtual again, because last year, you know, we were forced to be virtual and we found so many benefits to it. We were able to reach theater practitioners around the country in 17 different states, 4 countries. People tuned in because of what the platform provides is this opportunity for people to tune in and participate. And this is a Zoom-based conference. So we use a mix of Zoom webinar and Zoom meetings, depending on the nature of that particular session. So during the keynote presentation, that's done as a webinar. And then we have breakout sessions where we really want it to be interactive and emulate that in-person experience. So we use the breakout rooms in Zoom meeting for those sessions. So this year, we're excited to invite our keynote speaker, Nicole Brewer, who is the founder of Anti-Racist Theater. And she's going to be presenting a conversation about how we transform in the industry to anti-racism practices within the theater. And then we'll have a time to reflect and have a panel discussion, small group discussion to sort of break down the keynote. And then moving on in the afternoon, we have some other opportunities. You know, one reason people come to this is really to connect with each other. And if you are, you know, working in the Baltimore theater scene, the DC theater scene, or you're studying theater, we tend to get so wrapped up in our own little world. Sometimes we don't have the opportunity to meet with one another, share cards, share best practices, you know, successes. So we are providing an opportunity for people to participate in speed networking, which is like speed dating, but it is professional. And so you go into these small breakout rooms in Zoom, real quick, talk about who you are, where you're located, what you do, share a couple insights, and then switch rooms and meet some more people. And as part of that, we also have the opportunity for folks to join a directory. You know, you can't exchange business cards on Zoom. So we'll be creating a directory so people can say, oh, there was that woman from DC I talked to. She's a lighting designer. How do I contact her? So you can go back to the directory and connect with each other. This is also a place for students to attend and talk to some, maybe some more seasoned professionals about the craft and about working in the region. So we encourage, you know, HCC theater students to participate and students at, you know, all the area universities to participate, because then you can share information and there might be a job opportunity waiting around the corner. So we encourage people to come and participate in that. The other session I'm really excited about this year is a project sharing session where we're inviting people to bring to the table the ideas and successes of the past year and the challenges, to talk about how, well, gosh, what were you producing over the pandemic? And what platforms did you use? What new practices have you employed? And, you know, as we're coming out of this situation slowly and returning to in-person presentation, what are you going to hold on to? What have you learned? What have you learned about yourself? How did you take advantage of this time? How are you going to change your practices? And not only, you know, how we reach the patrons, it's not just about virtual or in person, but how are you formatting your rehearsal schedule? How are you managing work-life balance? So we want to talk to people about, you know, and pick each other's brains and learn from one another. That's something we really should take advantage of.
It's a true opportunity to reconnect, it sounds like, you know, and with yourself as an artist, because maybe some of the questions that you just asked, maybe some people haven't had even an opportunity to think about that, to slow down and think about that. But then to reconnect with the community itself and, you know, just that sense of, oh my gosh, you guys were going through the same thing and I wasn't alone. I think that that's, that gives so much power and just so much hope, individually and as a community, as an artist community. Is it too late to join? Is it too late to register? Can people still come in and be part of this conference, Janelle?
Absolutely. We're still accepting registrations up until, you know, the day of. It's free, it's virtual, and if you register, you get links to every single session and you can pick and choose. I know Saturdays can be a little bit packed for people. So it is on a Saturday, but you can pick and choose. If you just want to come to the keynote in the morning at 10:30, that's fine. If you're really only interested in the networking session, that's fine. And the other thing I'd like to mention is that while this is called a Women in Theater Conference, it really is something that folks from other performing arts genres should consider joining, because what we're talking about translates beyond theater to music, to dance, any performing arts. I would say, you know, chamber ensembles, choral ensembles, you know, dance companies. These are conversations that are going on throughout the performing arts industry. So I would say, please come and bring that perspective, because maybe we can learn something, you know, theater practitioners can learn something from musicians and dancers. And the more we share, the more we can learn and grow and, you know, provide rich experiences to our audiences and for our artists.
And so definitely make a note of that. And if you can come and participate this Saturday, be part of this conference, you know, be part of the whole thing. Just pick and choose whichever part you like and you think is going to suit you best. But most importantly, come and reconnect with the community, come and reconnect with the theater community and beyond. You know, if you're in the arts, just come and reconnect here at the conference. Another way to reconnect right here at Howard Community College is at the galleries. And I know, Janelle, that this is something that you've been very excited about. This is something that was like a newfound opportunity also, you know, to switch our galleries to an online format. But it is exciting to know that we can now also reopen. So tell us how we are going to be able to reconnect and continue to connect with the galleries right here at Howard Community College in the fall.
Yes, Thomas Engelman, our gallery director, worked so hard over the past season to get the art exhibits up online and worked with our web team, which were just fantastic to work with to provide opportunities for artists and for our student artists to have their work available for viewing on these virtual exhibits. But we're really excited to bring people back. The doors will be open, and Thomas is opening the galleries on August 30th. There'll be two separate exhibitions in the Rouse Company Foundation Gallery and the Richard B. Talkin Gallery, which is in McEwen Hall, just down the hall. And it's exciting, especially because he's featuring two artists that were included in the virtual exhibitions last year. And now patrons and students have the opportunity to see their work in person, to see it maybe in a little bit more detail and some different work as well. So in the Rouse Company Foundation Gallery from August 30th to November 22nd, we will be featuring Linnea Poole's work. And I don't know, Chris, if you remember her work from last year that was online, but she works with fabric and photography and photographs with who she calls her muses, right? She has these fabrics that she gives them and photographs how they interact with the fabric that she has dyed with indigo. And so I'm excited to see that work in person. And she's bringing some other pieces as well, including a short documentary that she worked on. And the concept of this exhibition is exploring ways of coping with mourning. And so she's done some interviews so some of that's on film and some of it is through photography, and it'll be wonderful to see it in person. And we actually have an interview with her that Thomas did, because last year he was doing those interviews with the artists and making those available on YouTube. So we'll have that, we'll share that again as well on our Facebook page so people can re-familiarize themselves with Linnea. And we'll also have a reception with the artist on September 25th. That's a Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. She'll be here to answer questions and talk about her work. And it'll be really exciting to see it in person and with some new pieces.
I actually do remember that exhibit very clearly, because we had a conversation that made an impact personally on me, because the conversation that you and I had, Janelle, around this was about, you know, what the fabric meant. And I think that you gave me like a little backstory of one of the models and you know, what it was, a black piece of fabric that was just covering her and the story behind it. And it shifted my perspective. I think I shared with you the last time we talked that, you know, for me, black is just when somebody dies, that's when you wear it. And that's why I was trying to avoid wearing black. But then to learn that in other communities, actually black is a color of celebration. It is a color that has all of these other connotations. It shifted my perspective. And that's, I encourage everybody. That's one of the reasons why I love the art so much, because it expands our horizons, right? This limited idea that I had of this one color suddenly by interacting with Janelle and having a conversation about this piece that's right here at HEC in one of our exhibits, just helped me just totally expand my idea on the color and my wardrobe. So, you know, it benefited me in the long run. Tell us about the other gallery and what works we can expect to see there.
The other gallery, that's the Richard B. Tolkien Gallery, will feature the work of Emma McDonnell. And I'm very excited about this because Emma is a former student graduate of HCC, and she also works here. And so Emma's a student who left HCC, went on and got her four-year degree to our benefit now works here in the Arts and Humanities Division. And she has a series of illustrations. It's called Technicolor Familiar, and she will have her work in the gallery. And these are small pieces. And again, I don't know if you remember looking at these, Chris, but the way that she creates these pieces with ink on small pieces, and it's sort of like pop art mixed with sort of like a medieval symbology. There's something very special to it. And, you know, I spoke with Emma and told her, you know, at this point, I've seen so much of her illustration over the years and watched her sort of develop her artistic sensibility over years. And it's to this point where I can really sort of place her work. I feel like she has a style that's very distinct and her own. And it's just wonderful to see a student, you know, come into their own in that way. So her work will be in the smaller gallery, right? The Tolkien Gallery that's in McEwen Hall, and people can come and take a look at that. And again, the same rules are applying in the galleries as in the venues. We don't have any, you know, limitations on capacity other than our regular fire code capacity in the spaces. So if you're on campus between 10 a.m. and 9:30 p.m., the galleries will be open for you to enjoy. And that opens August 30th. And those two won't be closing until November 22nd. So you'll have plenty of time to check those out. And for faculty and staff, I will mention that we will have sort of a sneak preview if you're going to come to Convocation on August 26th, the galleries will be open then as sort of a welcome back to the faculty and staff who will be joining us in Smith Theater for that return to the semester.
So we are excited here at HEC to reconnect, you know, in many ways with our community, with our students, and amongst ourselves, because we have been Zooming all of this time. And, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting to get this opportunity to reconnect back in person. Another way to reconnect and continuing to reconnect here at HEC this upcoming fall is through the Friday film discussions. And the topic that you had on, that you guys have chosen for these discussions is food. So my first question is, why are we looking at food and how are we looking at food, Janelle, for these discussions?
Well, okay. So the film discussions are something else from this past year that falls into the category of, oh, success. Let's hold on to this. Because since we weren't able to have in-person film festivals, Marie Westhaver transformed her film festivals into a Friday film discussion platform. It's like a film club. And the way this works is that you can register to participate. You look at the films that are scheduled for the season. And for this fall, they are taking place at 7 p.m. on Fridays, starting September 10th. And the discussions are taking place via Zoom. And the way it works is that you watch the film first, pick the titles that interest you, and then you register for those dates. And online, it shows you how to watch the movies. Marie has selected films that you can stream through popular platforms, whether it's through Prime or Netflix or renting from the local library, so that you can watch the film on your own time, and then have some chance to think about it on your own before you come to the discussion. And it is really exciting that the theme is food this time around, and international at that. So this is, you know, traditionally Marie would host an international film festival. And this is sort of the way of recapturing that annual event through a film discussion. So she's selected food. And I have to say, you know, I didn't ask her specifically, but I know Marie is also quite the chef. So I imagine that she chose food because that also interests her. And it's also something that people can really connect with, you know, especially when we're studying other cultures and this being an international film festival, food is really a way of getting to know a culture and sort of getting that inside feel for that culture. So I'm excited about this. And some of the films are, you know, from Taiwan, Japan, Germany, India, Israel. And the first one is September 10th. That's Eat, Drink, Man, Woman from Taiwan. And so if you're interested, you know, look through. There's one, Chocolat is one of them. And that's, I mean, who doesn't like that concept? So I'm looking forward to watching some of these films. And then participating in these discussions, because you know, what Marie brings to the table is just some insight into the making of the film, or information about the region where the production was actually filmed. So she has those insights, and it gives you a different perspective on the film. And so, you know, participate. It is free. You can register online. Registration will begin next week, and we'll have information on the website about that. And in addition to that, I would let you know that next Monday, Marie and Mike Giuliano will be participating with the Arts Collective in a Facebook Live interview about film at HCC. So if you're interested in film studies, in addition to just enjoy watching film, then you could also check that out. And that's on the Arts Collective's Facebook page.
And if you want to continue to connect with Marie and with Mike, you can check out our podcast At the Movies, and you can really get a good feel of their personalities and their knowledge and how many stars Mike Giuliano has met in person. So it never ceases to amaze me. And he just comes up so casually in conversation and brings that up. You know, yeah, I was there with him next to each other. Like, so definitely check it out. Check it out, the movies. I think you'll find a lot of insight. And check out, you know, be part of this film discussion. Again, you never know what you're going to learn. You never know what new perspective you're going to find by learning the background of the artist, of the film itself, and taking it more a little bit deeper, that rather than just watching it. We only have about 4 minutes left here in our conversation, but I know that we cannot leave music and dance out of our conversation, Janelle. So give us a brief look at what's coming up in the fall in the dance and the music departments here at HEC.
Yes, we're very excited that we'll have we'll bring back some of our fall favorites, the annual dance showcase that features student dancers and some faculty work will be coming back in October. And we'll also have the theater department productions taking place. So this fall, the theater department will have a production in November. In addition to that, the music concert series is back on campus, and we'll have two faculty concerts. One of them is taking place October 17th. The next one will be November 7th. And we'll have a lot more information on, you know, the artists and those performances when I'm back in September. But those performances are going to be special because those audiences haven't been to campus yet. We've had, you know, theater outside, but we haven't had music events in person yet. So we're really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. And we always have to remind everybody where to go check out, because we share a lot of information. It can be overwhelming, but it's exciting nevertheless. So let's just remind everybody, Janelle, the website, the best place to just keep up with everything, the page where we can continue to look up the safety measures that we need to check before we come here to campus, just to make sure that we know exactly what's happening and what to expect. So let's just give them, you know, those three important pages, or five important pages, however many we have, where everybody needs to go and connect and stay up to date on everything that's happening here in the arts department at Howard Community College.
Absolutely. Yes. Please visit us online. It's howardcc.edu/Horowitz Center. That will take you to our homepage. And from there, you can look up events by specific genre, or you can look at our season page for sort of a chronological look at what's taking place, what's coming up. We have an events calendar there, and the patron safety is under the Plan Your Visit tab. So if you click on that, please, before you come to campus, so you know what to expect. You can also follow us online on Facebook. It's Facebook/Horowitz Center. And, you know, join us on there, because we have posts up there, little inside scoops. That's where we have a couple of photos from the installation of Quill Sail, along with a video of it moving in the wind. So if you want to keep up with what's happening week by week, please follow us on Facebook and leave us a message. If you stop by, especially if you want to go on your own little art site scavenger hunt around campus, take a couple pictures, leave us a message, and we'd be really, really excited to reconnect with you that way.
Absolutely. And you can connect with us also on Instagram. You can connect with us on Facebook. You can connect with us at howardcc.edu/Dragon Digital Radio, or DDR if it's easier for you. And you can also go and check out our Podbean page, dragondigitalradio.podbean.com, where you can find all of our podcasts. Janelle, thank you so much. It is always so much fun to talk to you. It is always so great to see everything that you guys are doing, all this beautiful ways in which you guys are always challenging us to reconnect, to stay connected, to be creative, and to experience all of these emotions in a safe environment, a good environment, in a way that, like I said earlier, maybe pushes our limits in good ways and helps us expand our horizons and connect with the arts and connect with our community in different ways. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Share this with your friends. Mark your calendars. Check out the website. Check out all of the pages. Stay well. Stay safe. And until next time, I am Cris Oviedo. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.